Verse 24, John 15, 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled. It is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us, and we thank you that you indwell us by the Holy Spirit, and you give us guide, and you've given us a written word of God that is without error, has a truth, and is your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're still looking at what Jesus was teaching his disciples just the last week of his life. And he's preparing them to be around when he's going to be gone. And he said in verse 16 of chapter 15, I've chosen you, ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Well, to be chosen is something else. I thought I chose Jesus. Didn't you think it when you? But you know, he chose me.
Amen.
He was knocking on my heart's door from one direction to another. He was having circumstances come in my way. Yeah, Jesus was working on me. And through other disciples and whatever. And he said, I've chosen you, and in verse 16, ordained you. Did you know you were ordained? What do you think about ordain? It's to set apart, to appoint, to direct. He gave you a work to do. You know what your work is? Witnessing to Jesus Christ. Witnessing of his salvation that he's brought to you.
Amen.
Now, the very first verse that I started with here, verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did. Have you read your Bible? Have you heard the stories of Jesus' life? Have you heard about him stopping funeral processions? Have you heard about somebody born blind, 40 years old? Wow. Never been heard that anybody born blind was a miracle. Well, Jesus did.
Amen.
He stopped funeral processions. He did works which none other man did.
Amen.
Wow. Well, we're up to 2024. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
You know what? He's still growing. He's still growing all around the world. His word is preached everywhere. I'm amazed. In this modern thing, I don't fit with the modern too much. But the world is listening to the word of God over the internet. They're listening to it on little cassette recorders. And then there's missionaries that go there and learn their language, translate the Word of God into their language that they may even create, and give them the Word of God. Those missionaries in the 1950s that were killed by the Ok Indians. One of the men that was in on the killing, later on, after Elizabeth Elliot went back in with a lady there, and they converted this Indian tribe. He was a leader of that tribe. He became a leader of the church, and he was in a Billy Graham campaign in Europe. Can you believe it? Going around the world. It's still going. Praise God. I tell you what, if This book is a beautiful thing. I tell you what I believe. I believe it is the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about some Greek or some Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever, or what some college professor says. What we're reading right here in the 15th chapter of John shows how Jesus made sure that His Word was going to be right. He's counseling His... These are going to be the writers. The ones that He's speaking to this week, they're going to write... Boy, they're going to write the Gospel of John, one of the most famous writings ever lived. So many, I personally myself, I pass them out all the time. And it tells you in the last part of the book why John wrote it. He wrote it so that people could get saved. He wrote it so that you'd have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You might ought to spend a little time in that book. And if you don't spend time in the book, shame on you. Are you a born-again Christian? Well, you know what? You need the Word of God. And you need the counsel that's there. You need what the Holy Spirit can do with that Word. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And that's part of what we're dealing with in this chapter here. We're talking about the coming of the Comforter. Verse 26, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Now, did you notice that? The Holy Spirit is not interested in telling about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Did you ever get a hold of that? He brags on Jesus.
Amen.
He tells what Jesus can do, how Jesus has done it. He can guide you into all sorts of things. Memorizing verses is a beautiful thing. If you have some really good verses, some that teach great doctrine, you got them memorized in your mind, wow. God can just bring it up all the time, anytime He wants to. He can use you. I personally believe my job over the years has been just to simply preach the Word. Simply.
Amen.
Where anybody can understand it.
Right.
Make it plain and drive it home. I've never gotten disappointed. I've never gotten tired of it.
Amen.
I love the Word of God. You ought to read in it. You ought to be in it. You ought to memorize it. You ought to have some cards or something that you put on the dash of your car or on your refrigerator to remind you of the Word of God. And the more of it you know, the more the Holy Spirit can use to help you and for you to help other people. Wow. Around the world, all the way around the world. I like supporting missionaries. I thrill with this church here. One of our mission conferences recently, Mike Jackson was looking at it, and he divided 365 into it. He said, Lendl, this little church gives $600 a day to foreign missions. That's beautiful. How valuable would it be if you were one of those people on a foreign field? One of those that doesn't have the access that we have. We have a church on every corner nearly. You can get all sorts of values in all the churches that are in this town. And if you can't find one that you can agree with, well, bless your heart, start your own. What I mean, the opportunity is here. We got the Word of God.
Amen.
We have the opportunity to spread the gospel, and when you get saved, that's all those sins forgiven.
Amen.
I was sort of like the Pentecostals when I got saved. I was 20 in the Air Force. And when I got on my knees at 2:00 in the morning and began to confess my sins, I'm hunting up all the sins I can think of. I didn't just say, Lord, forgive my sins. Well, Lord, I did this, and Lord, I did that, and whatever. I did what the Pentecostals call praying through. When I got up, I was saved, and I knew it.
Amen.
When I got up, I surrendered to preach. I'm going to preach the gospel. I've been doing it ever since.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, one of the reasons why I would like to never hit a nursing home, and this may sound so bad to some people, but I've visited so many nursing homes in the last 67 years. I've been visiting nursing homes. And there are people in nursing homes that don't have a visitor ever. They lay there day after day, night after night. I told one of the children of one of the persons that was in one of them one time, I said, you need to visit your mother. He said, well, she doesn't know me when I come. I said, that doesn't matter. You ought to be visiting your mother. And there are people in there that they don't get a visitor. And they're just like a vegetable, some of them. But you know, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what's going on in their mind. Eddie, when he was about 15 or 16, got a disease. And he was crippled. And he couldn't talk. But you know what? After he come out of it, he said he understood everything going on around him. Wow. You're locked in this body, not able to respond right, but you're seeing everything that goes on around you. You don't know but what that person that doesn't respond to you may inside know you're there. Maybe could hear what you have to say. And I tell him, if you can hear me, God can hear you. I tell you, one of the Psalms that was one of the favorites of all, Psalm 103. That's a beautiful Psalm. I'm not going to tell you about it. You look it up. Anyway, if I had not done among them works which none other man did, Jesus did things nobody else did.
Amen.
And he's still doing it.
Right.
In you.
Amen.
We're talking here, verse 26, when the Comforter is come. Jesus has told him, I'm going away. You're going to be sorrowful, going to have problems, but I'm going to send the Comforter to you when the Comforter is come. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus in you. You realize that? You know who the Holy Spirit is? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus coming back to live in his believers.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that this does, this guarantees a better memory for all his disciples. Now, I'm 87 years old, and I really worry about old men running the country. And I'm afraid we don't have a big choice this time. They're both old men. And I know what an old man does. He forgets a lot of things. I'm forgetful. I'm not a very good house husband either. Of course, my wife doesn't see the house anymore. When the Comforter has come, what's he going to do? I'm going to send him from the Father, even what the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify me. Be careful of trying to brag too much on the Holy Spirit. It's the wrong way to go. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you have, when you read in the Word, you have these things that glorify Jesus Christ, that's coming from the Word of God, and it's coming from the Holy Spirit of God. And if you preach the Word, I've believed this for all these years I've been preaching. If you preach the Word, the Holy Spirit will go with it. Now, I preach my word, might not do it. But if I preach the word of God, if I explain the word of God, if I clarify the word of God, if I emphasize the word of God, I tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit of God's going to get a blessing and make a blessing. That's wonderful. And look at verse 27. He said, "And ye also shall bear witness." Why is the Comforter around? Well, he was around so the book would get written. These men were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Jesus in them, to write the truth and to remember right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You say, "Have any proof?" No, I don't. I don't have any proof. I go by faith. I believe that it what is what it claims to be,
yeah.
And it claims to be the Word of God without error.
Amen.
Maybe you ought to pay more attention to it. Maybe you ought to give it a little more authority
right.
in your life. Maybe you might order your life by it. Maybe you ought to use it in talking to some other people.
Amen.
And if you get a chance to teach, maybe you ought to teach it. The Word of God. "When the Comforter come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I got the reading in this chapter, just blessed my heart. It goes along with what John is writing about here and what Jesus was teaching about here. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll just begin in verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Wow. Now, I don't know about this cloud of witnesses. Some people say everybody in heaven is up there like their stands in a football game, you know. And they're watching you as you witness or as you suffer or whatever. I don't know. It may be all the people that are watching you. There's a cloud of witnesses out there. Look at the people here. We have all different areas that we go to.
Yeah.
We got different jobs. We've got different families. We have different areas.
Amen.
That's a lot of people watching the members of this church. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
How many people at your work would really be let down if you let down in your witness and testimony?
Yeah. Right. Amen.
How many people are expecting you to? When I first got saved and I started witnessing, boy, did I have opposition. Boy, did they make fun. But you know something? They were actually, by making fun of me getting saved and doing the change that I do and the witnessing that I was doing, they gave me a much bigger group of people that I influenced. What they did, this lieutenant, that I disobeyed the direct order of an officer, I was set up for prison. But I went to a chaplain, and I said, "You know, this is not right." They gave me an order that I know is an incorrect order. And he said, "You were right." He said, "Next time, you just obey it. Come tell me." Well, he told me I wasn't going to be in trouble. Now, my full colonel said he was going to put me in jail and throw away the key. Because I disobeyed the order of one of his lieutenants. And he said, "Next time they do it, you just come tell me." But they never did it again. They were afraid of me. They didn't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole. I'm two strings. Couldn't make three strings, which was a good pay break. And you know what? I had a four-string job when I got through with this. Did it, had it, until I was discharged. They did not want me witnessing in the room with the drivers and whatever. And they took me and let me run the aqua system, which was a sergeant's job. I never worked another Sunday in the service.
Praise the Lord.
Never another one. It amazed me. I was expecting to go to jail. I told Verlene, get ready, man. I'm heading for prison. He ordered me not to go to church. And there was no reason for it. And I said, that was a wrong order. Invited him to go with me. So I went out to service at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Oh, no, you get out of here. You're going up before the colonel. Full bird colonel. That's the next step before general. And, oh, boy, I went home and told Verlene, hey, you better get ready. I'm going to prison. What it looks like. God delivered me in such a way, they were afraid of me. They were afraid to have me around them. So they give me a sergeant's job off the bay, off the flight line, where we filled up all the trucks. You know what happened? I'm preaching all day long. Those soldiers that were, those airmen, hey, Brother Kincaid, me and my wife, blah, 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 blah. Hey, did you really get saved? How did that happen? What is that? What are you talking about? I'm witnessing all day long, and I'm working 8 to 5, and never worked any weekends.
Amen.
Till I was discharged. It was beautiful. I was scared to death. I said, man, I'm hung. I'm hung up. Stubborn man I am that I am. Well, you know what? God Almighty wants His Word to get out.
Amen.
And He'll use you if you want Him to.
Amen.
He may not use you like you want to be used. He may not use you when you want to be used. But it's not you to direct.
Amen.
God Almighty may use you as a testimony to somebody that's sitting on the sideline. While you're talking to some other person right there, God the Holy Spirit may be using that to touch somebody down here. God's in the business of saving souls. You know, the most important thing is not that we have such a big congregation in church, or that we spend so much money on this, that, or else, some other thing. It's that God gets His people.
Amen.
And that's what He's doing.
Amen.
When the Comforter's come, praise God, the Comforter has come.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Came for these writers of this Word of God. That's what I believe this Word of God right here is truth.
Amen.
I don't ever have a doubt. Let me tell you about some things. Have you ever heard of Good Friday? You know what that is? It's supposed to be the day Jesus was crucified. But in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus, in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. You know what the fish was? A whale. I had a preacher one time. He was a good man. But he got up and said, it's a fish, not a whale. And I pointed him to this verse. And he said, oh, I made a mistake, didn't I? Let me tell you what. They say the whale doesn't have a big enough cavity to be the apartment for Jonah for 3 days. I When Linda was 3 years old and Eddie and Billy were 7, 8, 9, we went to the Smithsonian Institute. I was in evangelism at the time, traveling all over, and I had a week in between meetings. I was going to go home to that time, but I was in Pennsylvania, and I'd just seen Niagara Falls. And so I wrote Verlene, called Verlene, and told her to put the kids in the car and get on up here for the end of the meeting. We're going to take a vacation in between meetings. We went down to Niagara Falls. It was great, absolutely. And then we went to the Smithsonian Institute. And I, like an energetic dad, said we'll visit all 7 museums in one day. And the very first thing we did was go up the Washington Monument. Do you know how high that thing is? I think we rode the elevator to the top. We decided to walk down. This is the beginning of the day. My little Linda's about 3 years old. And so Eddie and Billy, while they were running all over the place. But Linda took about 3 flights of stairs and she pooped. So I put her on my shoulder.
You mean she got tired?
You're right. That could be taken wrong. I'm sorry. Thank you, Billy. She was worn out, so I put her on my shoulder. And we walked all the way down. I walked all the way down with that little bundle on my shoulder. She's 3 years old. It wore me out. We went through all of the museums in one day. Oh, we were tired. But let me tell you something. I walked into the museum where they had this big fish. Between 90 and 100 feet long. A blue whale that a taxidermy had done. It's a blue whale hanging up in that ceiling. You won't see it now. They've got it. It's deteriorated a little bit. And the last time that Verlene and I went to the Smithsonian, we went to see one museum a day. We spent a week. But that whale is not there anymore. But that whale was big enough for you to have a 3-bedroom house inside that whale. No problem. If God wanted to build a special fish for Jonah, a blue whale would do the job. And some people say, well, now the whale is not a fish. Well, the Bible calls it a fish. Amen. And you know what the Bible calls it? Jesus said it's a whale. Think about that. The Word of God straightens out a whole lot of things if you read it long enough. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, you can't get 3 nights any way you look at it from Good Friday. Maybe it's a good Thursday. Maybe it could be a good Wednesday, maybe, but he was not crucified on Good Friday. Now, that's tradition. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
What am I going to follow? Tradition? I don't follow tradition. I follow the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, I just threw that in for good measure. When the comforters come, Hebrews 12, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. You carry heavy burdens. We do. We do. And even if you don't, just turn on the news. You'll see somebody carrying a horrible burden. You'll see wars all around the world. There's always wars going on around the world. There are people who want to kill other people. There are people who want to conquer other people. There are people who, I don't know, maybe they just love to fight. I'd have no idea. But it's a sad time. How can you not be sad when you see somebody that doesn't have enough food? Or you see somebody that's bombed out of their house and don't have any heat or electricity? Wow. terrible, terrible, terrible things. Now, thinking about it, you ought to lay aside every weight. How about the sin that besets us? You ought to be working on those things. And run with patience. Americans are not really good patient people. Do you know that?
Right.
Americans are in a hurry. You are in a hurry. All the time. You're in a hurry. Bless your heart. If anything isn't there, just there, you're upset. Now, you're going to drive home this morning. You're going to get on the road, and somebody is going to be right on your bumper, and they're going to pass you, and they'll be right in front of you, and about five blocks down, he'll be three cars ahead of you. Isn't that right? Haven't you seen that? Come around you and whatever. They didn't get anywhere. They're still right in front of you. Just three cars ahead of you. All of that thing. All this impatience. Wow. Anyway. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Have you thought about Jesus on the cross? He paid your debt. But he paid everybody else's debt.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He paid that thief's debt that was beside him. I don't know whether that thief had ever seen Jesus before that day. But you know, there was enough gospel preached at the foot of the cross. And he claimed he was the Son of God. Well, that old thief said, "Lord, remember me." How's that for a confession? I know some people say, "Well, man couldn't get saved that way. Just, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Oh, but Jesus took it.
Amen.
I mean, we got the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to him, "This day, today, today, you're going to be with me in hell." No. In paradise. You're going to be in paradise. That old thief's going to be in paradise. All he did was believe on Jesus while he was hanging on a cross. And he's hanging on a cross with Jesus. Wow. That's one of the most interesting stories in anywhere. Anywhere. The thief on the cross. He wasn't baptized. He didn't give a testimony. He couldn't give any money. He couldn't be faithful. He couldn't read the Bible. He couldn't. Oh, there's a lot of things he couldn't do. He didn't do a thing. That's the same way you get saved.
Amen.
You're not saved because you come to Sunday school. You're not saved because you're a member of a church. You're saved because God forgave you of your sins and gave you a gift.
Amen.
You don't deserve it. You couldn't pay for it. If you wanted to, you couldn't pay for it. Wow. Well, verse 3 said, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And then in verse 5, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he with the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, where are all the partakers? Then are you bastards and not sons." I see an awful lot of people. I'm an old father. Grandfather and great grandfather. I believe in discipline. I believe this generation is making a very, very big mistake in the raising of their children. I see children who don't pay any attention to their parents at all. I had one in my house just recently. Had a little 2.5-year-old. He couldn't keep his hands off of anything. He didn't pay attention to a word she said. And I told her 2 or 3 times, I said, "Look, If you don't get that child under control, you're not going to be able to handle him at 15. You hear about these people killing people, taking guns to school? Yes. Because somebody didn't do a good job of discipline. That's one idea. Wow. You ought to pay attention, and they ought to. Well, God is interested in discipline. God's going to discipline you. You think you're going to get away with it? Boy, did I ever learn my lesson well. You never get away with anything with God. Now, he may wait a little while.
Amen.
Consider him. Have you considered Jesus and the contradiction of sinners against him? You weary? I'll tell you what, be a preacher of the gospel, a pastor of church for a while. You'll learn some things. The pastors don't always get an easy break. And you know, it's really hard to fight slander. It is super hard. In fact, Verlene and I got to the place where we didn't hardly fight it. We just ignored it. You don't do hardly any good. Half the people you talk to still believe it anyway. And you didn't improve your lot, hardly a lot. But you know something? Jesus, he says, consider him that endured such contradictory sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Have you been tested like Jesus? No, I don't think you have. You haven't been tested like Fox's Book of Martyrs. You ever read it? You know, it might be a good occupation for you to buy his Book of Martyrs and read it and think what you would do in that situation. Wow. What about if you had a bunch of kids and they put you in prison for preaching and you won't quit preaching? And you got a little blind girl. You might write a book. Like he did. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. You need to look at the patience of Jesus. You need to look at the concern and love of Jesus Christ. He loved you so much. He hung on that cross. He stayed there. He could have called 72,000 angels. One would have been enough.
Right.
Remember that one angel in the Old Testament? One angel came down and slew 170,000 men. Wow. All you need is one angel on your side. He could have called 12 legions.
Wow.
He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to die. He did it all voluntarily. It was all made plans. Back in eternity past, when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit got up, your salvation message.
Thank you, Lord.
Saved your soul.
Amen. That's right.
Gave it as a gift.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not saved because you're better than somebody down the street from you.
Right.
You're saved because God had mercy on your soul.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise
Thank you, Lord.
Man, we ought to be humble. We ought to be thanking God every day. He deserves our thanks. Well, I didn't get very far, but I'll come again to the spot. See you next week.